Que lui prospère, doit déjà repérer. Le bon Dieu va le cause.
Amen.
Happy women, man. I declare the meeting open. Again, wishing women their month and the other 11 months, which also belong to them. After all, if everything was belonging to women, life would not be what it is. It would be very good. There would be no economic problems. I hope all of you enjoyed your month. But if we, honorable members, were about to start, today we are mainly dealing with the fourth quarter. It seems to be the item before me. And of course, one or two internal business issues like the program. We are capable of staying here until 5 o'clock. We may still stay here until 10:30 or 11:00. So it's up to us. All I can tell you, whatever time you want to stay, I'm available to chair. Whether it's 24 hours, I'll be here, don't worry. Either way, I'm around. The agenda, I take this opportunity to welcome all of you, the department, all the members, all of those who were on recess, who came back without scratch. No one beat anyone, we are all fine, we must thank God for that. The agenda is before us. Before the agenda, do we have any apologies, Senator? Yes?
Good morning, honorable members.
But you must speak louder.
Good morning.
You said that, speak louder, it must start with you.
Good morning, honorable members, the deputy minister, officials in presence. Chopis, I have received an apology from Mamungwenya, who's ill. She underwent a surgery last week, so she's been put off for about 6 weeks.
We must wish Kelly a quick recovery. She's an important member of this committee. Not that anyone else is not important. Okay. It would be nice if we send something.
Yes, Chairperson, if you allow me to also just present the apology for the minister. We're doing a shared responsibility. She's in cabinet and I'm here.
Yeah.
And she has called it the world image daily, which is unlikely. Thank you very much, Chair.
No, we know the minister respects this committee.
Yes, thank you.
I propose that you accept the minister's apology. That's my proposal. I table all apologies, by the way. There are only two apologies, Honorable Wenya and the minister. Should I, Honorable? No, don't press that thing, it's not working.
No, Chair, I just wanted to apologize for myself if I do leave early, as I've reported to you, that I'm being sworn into the Speaker's office, into the Joint Ethics Committee, and since the deputy minister is here, I don't want to seem to be disrespectful to the officials and department studies early.
Good luck for your new responsibility.
Thank you.
I take with apologies. Number.
I accept the apology.
Any second? Yes. All of you, thank you. Agenda is before us. Does anyone want to add anything, something I didn't come to do? Does anyone want to add, can we table the agenda for adoption? Can anyone adopt the agenda on our behalf? Honorable member of it? Next, any seconder? Mam Tao?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much. The agenda is adopted. Can we proceed straight to the department and ask the Deputy Minister to lead? We welcome all of you with your heavy delegation. This shows how serious you take the committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. Team CSG. Chairperson, we are here to present the fourth quarter of 2019, January to April, which was also a quarter that we were wrapping up the first administration. As I get into the presentation, Chairperson, I also would like the committee to just note that we will be required to be coming back in another 2 weeks by the committee's order to come and present the annual report, which will cover the, all the four quarters, so which would give the committee more in terms of what we did in the whole year, but also zooming in how we have wrapped up the fifth administration, but at the same time preparing to present the first quarter of the sixth administration and the remedial actions. So I just wanted to make that so that that can then determine how long, as the chair said, whether the committee wants to engage us on the presentation in detail and bring the same presentation back in 2 weeks' time. But now it gives the committee a whole year's picture. That is just the opening remarks and maybe a proposal that I was making to the chair, because that will then guide how we take the presentation. Chairperson, we were just seeking that particular guidance from the committee so that I can then know how deep the committee would like us to present, or if the committee is comfortable that we do the high level, because in 2 weeks' time we'll be back here with the annual report and we'll be presenting the same quarter.
My understanding is that we enjoy your presence. So
okay.
Detail is fine with us because it keeps you longer with us. So we don't have a problem. You can proceed.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Musma. Masango. Of course.
Chair, I am 15 minutes for the minister's presentation. My questions have just been answered. I wanted to know the implications of this meeting not being recorded because of the system not working, but it looked like we resolved it.
You are covered.
Thanks.
Now you can hear me easily. Thank you, Mama Sam. Proceed, dear.
Sorry, Chair. I was hoping you were going to say, no, we can go and enjoy the tea, we will come back.
not when I'm here.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We have presented before the committee the fourth quarter, as indicated, which is January to March, which also was the end of the financial year. I just want to highlight, Chairperson, in terms of process, that we humbly requesting, with the indulgence of the committee, that we focus on, as government has requested us to report and indicate the areas where we might have struggled a bit, which are the red, and we also explain the work in progress in the yellow, and maybe highlight through questions the areas that are green. Chairperson, we continue to deliver the required services as prescribed in the different pieces of legislation. We also want to indicate that in this quarter and in the as it is the last quarter, we were at 9,657 performance summary. We apologize for our slides that we have somehow managed to hide the numbers. So if we could go straight to slide number
Thank you. Right? Thank you. That is the slide with those pillars. And at this point, I'm going to indicate that, that the department has done our best in wrapping up the fourth quarter. We have programs that we have managed to finalize. We've got projects, programs that it is work in progress. We're working on it. And we do have programs where we had challenges, Jefferson, in terms of where we are reviewing them. So at this stage, I would like, with your permission, to allow me to hand over to Thabani, monitoring and evaluation, to just highlight our performance. And Thabani will hand over to the CFO to fill in the finances, and then we will be open at your guidance, Jefferson, to then take over questions.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, and good morning, Honourable Chair, and all the honourable members and colleagues. The DM, I think, in her opening has already indicated in terms of the status of our performance, where in the last or the period under review, which is this quarter, there's been an increase in terms of our performance as compared to the third quarter. So we have been able to meet all the targets and up to 75% in terms of the objectives that we have made. So what we are saying during this quarter under review, we, the department has been able to achieve its targets up to 75%. And we must indicate that most of the targets which were not achieved in the period under review, which is January to March, we carried over for them to be implemented in the current financial year, which is 2019-2020. And in progress of those, as the DM has said, we'll be able to present it, as we are invited to come and present our performance over the current financial year. So as you note, some of these targets relate mainly to issues of legislation. They relate to bills that you have to be submitted to cabinet, such as the amendment bills and so forth. So we will be able to report on those. I would have loved the CFO to share, but I think I can at a high level present the big effect that we had 99% spending in the previous quarter. And you'll note that in the first quarter, there seems to be less spending, and it increases over the other quarters as it shows. I'll just move to the areas where and provide the reasons for underspending in some of the areas, especially in admin, as well as all other programs. Mainly in administration, the reason for underspending relates mainly in terms of the delays on the delivery, some of the services related to the IT infrastructure, which is linked to the turnkey solution project, which we are doing with SETA. And so they were delayed in terms of confirming some of the deliverables with regards to that. Regarding the program two, which is the social assistance, the savings came with low, there was low spending, especially to some of the grants, which include the foster care, the disability grants, and granting aid, as a result of the lesser numbers of people that really turned up, because you do projections, so we anticipate a certain number, but the initial effect when, in terms of the performance, we find that it's just low uptake. Relating to program three, the underspending are mainly related to the full operation and the delay in the full operation of the solar associate inspectorate, which we established. On program four, the underspending relates mainly on the payment of various national bodies as a result of reclassification of expenditure with in relation to Circular 21 Financial Treasurer, which then, and also the fact that for some of the events, I'm sure she should also the events that were planned for the department, we had reduced the number of participants and so forth. These are related to the Heimann Welfare Services event, including your child protection week, your other parliaments for older persons and so forth. Finally, on the program 5, the other question relates to the efficiencies that you had to put in place as a department related to other areas. In terms of classification, economic classification, when it comes to the goods and services, as I indicated, this was a question of the incentive solution, but I'll allow the CFO to take us through the detail at some point. I want to move quickly to the performance. Under program one, how we have structured this presentation is that we wanted to afford the honourable members to have an understanding on the list or the total number of targets that we have per program, and then we move to how then we perform in terms of those that we're able to achieve. But also we also want to take you through those that you did not achieve, and then say what then are the remedial actions that we want to put forward to make sure that we correct the areas where there was underachievement. So there were about 7 targets that we had under program one, which relates to administration for us, includes issues of HR. We had our intergovernmental relations in terms of how we engage with the world and Africa, how we also have programs related to IT. We've got an entity oversight function, we've got an M&A, finance, among others. So in the APP that you have, the 7 targets that appear in the APP relate mainly to this particular function. And you will note, for all other programs, we had met fully our targets on program one, with an only issue relating to the entity oversight where I want to go. So I'm moving to the slides on target not achieved, because those that are achieved, I think that have been straightforward given the guidance that the DKM has given, so that we focus on areas where we did not perform. The main issue where we did not perform is regarding our department's entity oversight function, which honorable members to the chair, we have not fully operationalized as a department in terms of it being realized as a result of the organizational review in terms of the structure that we are conducting as a department. So our ability as a DSD to perform oversight function over the 2 entities, or the 3 if I include the CDA, we could not be able to do it. So what you had wanted to do was for us to do analysis of all the integrated contact reports of these entities. Secondly, was for us to establish an entity management forum, and this could not be properly completed. What then are we proposing in terms of the corrective action regarding this non-performance on entities of type? So in the department, we have made enough efforts to make sure that we resuscitate and strengthen our ability and capacity to perform this oversight over these entities. And it is in that note that typically that if you look at the current APP, we have included the entity oversight function because we are taking it very serious. So also in the department, we'll be implementing, we are using the 2015 oversight structure, which of course has the entity oversight function in within the program one as one of the key areas for the department. In terms of the spending regarding program one, it has spent up almost 92% of its budget, and there are no major issues, and the CFO has indicated that you just give an overview in terms of the specific areas and so forth. When it comes to program two, which is like 28, we are clear because these are just the transfer of money to FASA that we do as a department. So there are 7 grants that we do the transfer to. In my overview, I did indicate that there seems to have been a low spending for some of the grants, which include the grant aid, foster care, as well as the disability grant. So we have met fully all the targets over the 4 quarters. So what you're saying is that the social grant is on substantial growth. Currently, we are about 17.8 individuals that were receiving different grants, which includes about 12.4 million children. And among the grants that seem to be showing a decline is mainly the war veteran grants And this is a result of, because not simply persuaded, but people are growing out or they are last spend, they fall out of this grant at some point. So I'm not sure if it will still remain or it will be discontinued in future, depending on the number of beneficiaries that remain in that particular grant. So as I said, these are just about transfer, hence the expenditure is almost 100%, which is 99.9%. So there are no major issues except to say there might have been some slow spending with regard to some of the grants that I had mentioned. Moving to program three, as like 35, the most glaring area here, if this is a financial year, as the DM has said, when it comes to present annual report, we will indicate to see that as we progress and implemented some of the objectives, there were some considerations that took done with regard to some of our targets. Hence, there was an errata, especially to some of the areas where it was clear that we would not be able to meet some of these targets. So I don't want to think to present a situation where, as if in this particular program, it was only three targets that they have and they only achieved them, mainly as it's clear on the third as well as the fourth quarter. But among other things that you do in terms of social security policy, because we are a policy developing department, one was for us under Program 3 to draft regulation of Social Assistance Amendment Act. Secondly, we wanted to do a consultation upon the draft policy on the visualization of the child support grant. And thirdly, was for us to come up with a discussion paper on the review of the SASA Act. And all these were fully met by end of the financial year, and mainly there was work that had been done from the first quarter, but as you could see, most of the outputs that had been realized, especially the third as well as the fourth quarter. So these were, as I did indicate, that they were fully achieved. And the expenditure, of course, as expected, was the fully met, is at 99%. So there were no major issues regarding the spending. However, there were some of the errors in terms of the delays for us to have submitted to Cabinet in terms of the Social Assistance Amendment Bill. But also, as I indicated earlier, for us, the appeals tribunal, because it's not fully operational, so there were some of spending, as you see, solid spend about 74% as what has been appropriated to them. Moving to welfare services, this is the program in which the larger proportion of our targets, of the total number of targets that we have in the department over the past financial year, which is almost 50, to be precise, 57. This particular program accounts for about 23 of those particular targets. So it's a very big program where all welfare-related services and legislations, the normal standards, are being processed. So it includes services relating to professional services for older persons, early childhood development, social crime prevention, victim empowerment, children's services and offense and vital for children, HIV/AIDS, the rights of persons with disabilities. So these are main areas. And under each of those main areas, I did indicate that there were specific targets that were allocated per each program. As you can see, it's where we see honorable chairperson and members to have had some of the challenges in terms of meeting fully all our targets. As you could see, consistently over the financial year, the performance has been on the average of about 64-65%. And as you could note, at the end of or at the period under review, which is the fourth quarter, the performance was just 64%. And we give the reasons exactly for those that were not achieved. But most of the targets were achieved. And I won't go through them as they are there, but I'll try to move quickly to those that we did not meet fully. Those that we did not meet, as I did indicate, they relate to the legislation, which include, for example, the white paper on social welfare, which we had to submit to Cabinet for approval, that was not completed. And maybe it's better if I go to positive measures, because I guess it wasn't the way forward. I'm on slide 52. We will, under the current financial year, make sure that this is approved by Cabinet, and it's underway, and I'm sure we can give an update on where things are. What was also not achieved relates to the National Plan of Action for Children in South Africa, which is a 2018-2022. to have this group, but also the consultation with the social cluster. And this consultation will continue to take place in the current financial year, which is 2020. We also had a commitment which we did not meet fully in terms of the submission of the child care and protection policy to cabinet for the approval. And what then we did was to do further consultations with the state, with the Office of the State Law Advisor, and this was directed by cabinet for us to do that, and that will continue in the current financial year. In the previous financial year as well, we wanted to build capacity under the quota of three provinces, which is Western Cape and Eastern Cape, on the teenage parenting program, and we did not meet fully. So instead of building three provincial departments, we only did two. So one of the provinces had already been done in the previous quarters. Another area as well where we did not meet fully in terms of our target was for us to conduct a costing report on the Bill on Victim Empowerment Support Services. This was not completed due to the delayed start of the technical aspects to assist us with the costing of the bill. And the department has revised the project plan because we wanted to make sure that it is effective into the current financial year. And we are making commitments and taking that we will fast track the costing process of this particular Victim Empowerment Bill. Also, relating to gender-based violence, what we had wanted was to have the South African Integrated Program of Action approved by Cabinet. But because in the previous financial year, the President organized the GPV Femicide Prevention National Summit, we wanted to make sure that before we move with a program of action being approved, let's make sure that it is in line and it links to the outcome of that particular national summit that the President had organized. So we it was just a reconsideration from our side, and everything is underway right now for it, for the program of action to be approved, and making sure that it's in line with the outcomes of that particular summit that was held last year. We have also made a commitment to submit a draft policy on social development services to persons with disabilities to the social protection cluster and for that, and this was not realized. However, the policy, it was recommended for refinements and before it is tabled to MINMEC, which is a minister's meeting with MBCs from different provinces. And this refinement will be completed in the current financial year. I'm sure we will come back and report on the progress, how we perform. We will be able to report the fact that we have been able to do refinements. On the national strategic framework on disability rights awareness campaign, this was not also submitted to Cabinet for approval. There's a transition of the validation improvement process towards its finalization. And so the framework will be further consulted with some of the various structures in the period that we are in right now, which is 2020 financial year. And we'll be able to report accordingly in terms of our performance. Moving to straight to issues of underspending with regard to Program 4, I did indicate also, I'm in slide 27 now, on goods and services, I did indicate earlier on, and I'm sure the CFO will put more emphasis and provide more clarity, is mainly the underspending on goods and services regarding Program 4 relates to the limited number of participants that could be invited in our annual outreach programs. This includes programs such as the Active Aging Program, the annual youth camps, the Children's Parliament, Human Trafficking, Candlelight Day, and the Wet Earth Day. So if we have been inviting thousands or so participants in the previous years, and we had made plans for us to consistently do that, in the previous financial year, on the quota under review, we did not invite all these people that usually participated or the same number. So hence we have the underspending with regard to that particular program. Moving towards the final program, chapter 3, which is social policy and integration services, where development services are located. There are a number of targets and in terms of the functional areas that are within that social program. This includes the special projects and innovation where EPWP is located, chapter 6, We've got population and development function. We've got NPOs where as a department we are dealing with compliance, monitoring, as well as funding coordination. We've got programs that relate to social mobilization and community empowerment. And finally, we've got poverty alleviation that we have in food security programs. So for each functional area, we had a certain number of targets that we had, and the total number of them under this program class, we had about 14 of the total number of targets, and we did meet a larger proportion of them, which is about 12, and it's only limited ones, and we'll share with you exactly the areas where we can perform. And so, as you could see, is one of the programs that had seemed to have performed much better as compared to all other quarters of the financial year. They've been performing around 60 and so forth, but during the period under review, which is the fourth quarter, they almost reached 90%. They were just at 86%. We achieved, as I indicated, some of the program, and I'll move straight to those where we seem to be wanting or the target that we could not achieve. This mainly relates to the two areas, Jefferson and honorable members. One, we have a target and a commitment for us to submit the non-profit organization bill, the NPO bill, to cabinet. But because of the CF process in terms of its certification, it could not be concluded. And we are making an undertaking that this will be done in the current financial year. Also, in this quarter, as we are closing the fifth administration, we committed ourselves to link our 200 cooperatives to economic opportunities, which was our target. By the end of this period, it was only 117 cooperatives that we were able to link. And this is the result of National Treasury then introduced the National Treasury Classification Circular, which then affected the cooperatives. And meaning that now they have to operate under the goods and services. So it means they must compete for any work or service that they want to provide. And unfortunately, the larger proportion of these NPOs, they don't comply or meet the requirements that are stipulated in terms of the supply chain management processes. But as a department, we are working towards making sure that we give them adequate skills, not only us as a department, but also working with the National Development Agency, which focuses on making sure that it doesn't only establish this cooperative, but to make sure that it builds their capacity so that they are able to provide these much needed services and as a partner and a relevant one for government. I think for now, this is where I would then end through you, Chairperson, and maybe I can just allow our Chief Financial Officer to add in the areas, especially the finances, in the event that I do not have his capacity to deliver as he would have wanted exactly our financial outlook. But thank you, Deputy Minister and Chairperson.
You must say thank you,
Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
This is what
I'm missing. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm giving it to Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Honorable Deputy Minister, do you want to proceed?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. With your permission, I thought he, even though he was not the CFO, he has covered the projections. So at least we are doing skills transfer. I therefore would want to return the meeting to the chair, and we're ready to take questions if the chair so allow. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. So if I hear you properly, he has taken care of the CFO's work. What can be done? We can throw questions posed to both non-financial and financial, what to call governments.
Yes.
Honorable members, the report is before you. Engage. You know, you ever been a rebel or rabbit? Is it a couch? Engage. Honorable Simon, Masango, my apologies. I won't repeat it. We've got a Msimang in the ANC, so he's a very prominent Msimang now. Honorable Masang, any other hands? Going? Honorable Masang.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you to the Department for the presentation. My question is...
Can you put the mic in a particular way?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Thanks. My questions are just for clarity, Chair, as I thank the Department for the presentation. The questions that I have, for example, relate to the inspectorate that has not been operationalized. I would like to know when do we think this is going to be happening, and what has been the impact of it not being operationalized, because obviously there was a reason for it. And that goes with the other things that have been presented as not having been achieved, many of which are the things that have not been either submitted to cabinet or things like that, and those things relate to the work that would have to be done after they would have been processed through cabinet and everyone else that would have had to be receiving them. The examples of that, Chairperson, is the plans of action. If a plan of action is not finalized, so it means the action has not taken place, and what would have been the impact of that on the people who would have been recipients of the actions that would have been taken had the plan of action been finalized. For example, the plan of action for the gender-based violence, I think it expired sometime last year or the year before, I don't know. The gender-based, plan of action, program of action for gender-based violence. The violence against the women and children is escalating in the country, and we have programs of action that are not finalized. And my question is, what is the department thinking of doing to, or what is happening in the meantime, I should say, in fact. And so, Chair, the other question relates to the FRD, because I just would like to know what is happening now. Who is between the department and SASA is actually the SRD, because there was a time in the last term where we heard that one is doing the budgeting and the other is implementing, and there were a whole lot of things that were happening there. I just would like to know what the status is and how is that affecting the people that are recipients or beneficiaries of the SRD. And there is a point that was made about some certification that has not taken place. I just would like to know what is the status now and why the certification has not been concluded or finalized. Again, all my questions, Chair, are saying when CISA...
I just wanted to know which field. Yes.
Oh, okay. The NCOB.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I would like to... as I said, these are for clarity, but clarity that is driven by concern about the non-finalization of things so that the actions cannot be taken on the ground. Thank you, Chair.
That appears to have been the only hand. It seemed as if the presentation was so clear, precise. We respond, we are done with the report. Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much.
And that's curious on the on the inspectorate, because I think the big question there is that if there is no inspectorate, how is the quality assured? I think that question is very critical. Action, gender-based violence, dilly-dallying in that area could send the wrong message in the current circumstances. Very useful responses can help us think differently. Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to respond to the questions.
And I know that the committee, I guess when the department comes, the chairs on the table, they come to me as well. So let me provide the answers and the team can add. I'll start with the NPO bill. I'll take the last one go up. The NPO bill was delayed based on the issues around CS. We wish to confirm that that has been resolved. And we have CS, so we are back on track. And we got that as we were wrapping up the fifth parliament, and we did not introduce it because we could not meet the cut-off line. The cut-off came from the leader of government business in terms of the parliament accepting bills. So that answers the other question around the issues that cabinet has to submit. A lot of the bills, parliament itself has requested that members need to go and campaign, and therefore through the leader of government business, the executive must not introduce a new legislation in the, like in October, so that it's not a lot of it lapses with the parliament. So that has been taken care of, and the leader of government business has already issued the instruction, and as a department, we, through the minister, are already submitting the list of legislation that will be before parliament. But that's the first part. The second part, we are, because there were, legislation that was already introduced to parliament, for an example, the Children's Amendment Bill, all that we will be doing is to reintroduce so that the speaker can formally refer that bill, and that will take care of the rest of the bills. It was more the transition from one administration to the other, and the work that was before cabinet and parliament. The second aspect in terms of the SRD, let me explain, Chairperson. I'm not sure where the confusion was. SASA does SRD, supports the budget for SRD, and social development in provinces have their budget for SRD. So SRD is implemented both by SASA and both by the Department of Social Development. So each of them have their own separate budgets. And that's what makes the separation in terms of who does what. SRD of SASA focuses on those that qualify for social assistance and at that particular time, while the administration is the administration of the grant and all of that is met, then they are met halfway with the SRD in the process. But it is that's the first part. The second part is that the SRD that SASA provides is also disaster relief focused, the shakes, that ban, and all of that. Whereas in the department deals with, it's a core program as the department goes out and they identify in the provinces those families that are in distress, which is a shorter term intervention whilst a government needs to get a permanent solution for that particular family. And that is only done, Chairperson, when there is no member of that family that qualifies for any other grant to manage WTP. So that is the clarity I want to provide on the issues around the SRP. So currently that's the separation, and everybody is implementing. And I also need to say, it is governed by the same act. What has been separated is which aspect, so that there is no duplication, the one family can get from SASSA and go and get from the department. So that consolidation does exist, Chairperson. With regards to the gender-based violence, I want to just give the committee an update that since the presidential summit, there is a steering committee that was established. We went to the presidential summit having started the process of the review of the gender-based violence plan of action as a department. From our side, we've consulted, we've completed the aspect of the gender-based violence plan that the department is responsible for. I need to just remind the committee that this plan goes beyond social development. It brings in all other departments, which is justice, and a steering committee has been established that actually brings together civil society and that brings together a government, and that particular process is now being handled by the presidency under the Ministry of Women, and they lead that particular aspect, and there are very tight time frames that have been agreed upon in terms of the country, rather than having a plan of action, but have a national strategic plan on gender-based violence, as we have in terms of the national strategic plan on HIV and AIDS. But the president has also directed there is time frames of the establishment of a council on gender-based violence. So that process is underway. What is happening in the meantime and in between? In the meantime, Chairperson, we are utilizing the plan of action to continue to provide the services that we are required to provide in terms of the victim empowerment, which is the sole responsibility. Victim empowerment, managing of the shelters, establishing of the shelters, all of social development responsibilities are being implemented as all of the conversations are happening. So there is, and the command center is in function. So the South Africans are getting the service, the programs are happening, whilst on the other side, the council is being established and the steering committee is leading that, and a national strategic plan, first draft, is already being consulted upon. With regards to the issue around the plan of action on children, I wish to indicate that the plan of action on children is being finalized, and when we come, we're just on the final consultations that are required as we enter into the sixth administration, so that all ministers, those that are new in particular, actually understand what is the role and what is their responsibilities. And also, we are engaging those that are providing services to children. And the department is also consulting the children themselves. We will be having the National Children's Parliament, as the law requires us to engage children on decisions that affect them. So we are in the process. It will be on the 27th of September, and part of what is on that agenda of the Nelson Mandela Children's Parliament is to also award children an opportunity to input into the final plan that will go through cabinet and find its way to the parliamentary structure. The other, I just want to check, we have the plan, the inspectorate. Chairperson, the inspectorate has been housed in the branch social security, so it is there, it is functioning. The delays were more technical in terms of the amendment of the Social Assistance Act. When the inspectorate was conceptualized, I was a member of this very portfolio committee. It was meant to be a stand-alone department, but when the functions were then reviewed in terms of the Public Service Commission as well as the Public Service Act, It was then realized that we need to actually make it a Schedule 2 or Schedule 3. So those discussions have been finalized. The inspectorate is operational, but not in full capacity, because the finalization of are we making it a Schedule 2 or are we making it a Schedule 3 is what we are currently finalizing. And that particular discussion, Chairperson, does not have an impact on the work that the inspectorate needs to do, of which is performing oversight on SASA, dealing with issues of fraud and corruption. All of the those areas are being dealt with. And we are also just want to finalize to indicate that, and I think that was the final, that some of the elements of the inspectorate form part of the negotiations that are currently happening in NEDLAC in the different chambers, so that we are all in agreement, including with labor and communities, so that we can finalize and close that discussion. But the functions are housed, they are being implemented, there are warm bodies that have been employed for the inspectorate. The only difference is that it is not in full capacity. And we hope that as we bring what we brief the committee on the portfolio approach and the changes that the new minister is introducing and the leadership that she's providing, we have set ourselves very tight time frames to finalize this particular aspect, to the extent that the minister will actually be going to NEDLAC in person, so that we are able to also push that aspect in NEDLAC to finalize and wrap up and actually make sure that the inspectorate is in full function. But what it is required to do is currently happening. So we need to just make sure it comes to full scale and it is allocated so that it is understood in which schedule, because that then has a direct impact in the manner in which it will be monitored. Lastly, Chairperson, when we presented...
But before you proceed, Deputy Minister, I guess what Honourable Masango is responding to, so that they clarify this. Under your reasons for under-expenditure, the report says lower than expected expense is mainly on salaries and wages due to the moratorium placed on the filling of funded vacant posts for the minister, which relate mainly to appeal tribunal and the inspectorate. The kind of response, the kind of question is responding to that.
Mm-hmm.
It is not formulated by Honourable Masango, because she is responding to what is reported here. Mm-hmm. Unless we can clarify what does this mean.
Yeah.
Because the manner it's written here, it seems to be saying to us there's the challenge there, filling of vacancy, whether it's not working because the posts are vacant. I think Honourable Masango is actually moving from that, but the manner I will respond is not related to what we are reporting, to the reason why the question is being asked.
I was actually coming to that, Chairperson, thank you very much. I was indicating when I was saying, as I conclude, there was a moratorium that the former minister placed on both SASA and the department. But when the moratorium came into effect, there were already people that were employed, but the moratorium had an impact on the full capacity. So before the moratorium was placed, there were people that were appointed in the inspectorate already, and they were doing the work.
Okay.
I want to confirm that the minister, Lindy Wezu, has lifted for SASA their moratorium. That has been lifted, and SASA will be implementing and advertising those posts. Mm-hmm. So that is how I was concluding. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I was pleased.
Thank you, Chief. Just two comments and then a concern. The first comment is, if we are going to be flying through the presentation, one slide, skip a few, Can we please receive the presentation ahead of time so that we can look at it beforehand? Second comment, that I don't think anybody's mentioned, but everybody is fully aware that underspending in any at any amount is actually unacceptable in this Department of Social Development, and persons and officials responsible for that underspending should actually be held responsible and accountable, and through internal process actually be disciplined for underspending when it actually comes back to them. And then just a concern, a lot of the content and text in the targets that aren't achieved are because of matters being referred back for consultation and delays in service providers and not meeting deadlines and things. My concern is that in this remedial and correctional content that's been given to us, there are no dates attached to when consultation will be taking place, to when the actual problems in process is going to be resolved. So we're going to sit here again next quarter with the same remedial actions because there are no deadlines attached to this. So we're going to be in the third quarter, and because there aren't any deadlines, we'll still be reading about the same consultation processes that must be take place. So that's just my two comments and concerns. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Let's correct the administrative part. Our records demonstrate that on the 15th, these presentations were sent to other members. That's what the records show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Unless members, they are pieces of work.
I got these, but not this one.
No, but what we're saying, that is exactly what we're speaking about. The records demonstrate that only 15th. So we need to correct that, but as far as we're concerned, our records said they were sent on the 15th. I know there's a lot of other things that we do. But there's a list of questions, comments that Honorable Abraham raised. Honorable members, do you want to further raise any? There's an honorable member, Umama Umpam. You know, I won't forget that name because okay. That particular meaning, which many people don't know.
No,
Mama Umpam. Okay, right?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Minister, the EM, the presentation is very telling on teenage pregnancy, and I'm very much concerned with it. Nothing has been said about teenage pregnancy, as it is not a problem. And I want to pin that with the problem of the disability. So many people who are deaf and blind go and report cases of teenage pregnancies to the police and they become locked up when they report.
They become what?
Locked up. Because they are deaf and blind. And when they get to the police, which is my question, what collaborative effort have you made as the Department of Social Development with SEPS in combating the state of people with multi-disability, meaning the deaf and the blind? There are people who go to the police and become doctors, and nothing is being said on this report about teenage pregnancy. And some people, when they are raped, deaf, the police can't even communicate through sign language. One of the questions I asked last term in the fifth parliament, when Minister Fikile Mbalula was still a minister of, before Betty said, of I said, what commitment are you adhering to into making sure that the police are capacitated into the sign language, because the deaf community and the blind community, when they go and report cases...
We do know what to do, Mamba.
When you come and present
the first quarter, the conditions of your provinces and your districts. Because really we may say that, yeah, we are doing well, but people there, they are challenged. Even the issue of the post offices, I don't know, maybe all the other provinces is fine, but where I'm coming from, it's a disaster. You find all the people standing there for the whole day, standing, without chance. So we may come and sit here and talk about this good report and whatever, but the people on the ground, our mandate is not to come and sit looking to the report, to send the people down there.
Very good.
Thanks.
The department will remember, I've said it before, just to reinforce what Brother Bilango is saying. As politicians, when we go to the community, we want to report things that make sense to them. Remember, dear, I go to say to them, seven targets or chip two,
yeah.
They say, what is that? What is that? It is green, so what? So they are telling us about green, but you remember the story of the four dogs? People say, no. So I think, honorable members, we are on a conversation with the department to change the reporting language.
Yeah.
So that it's a reporting language that can make sense to politicians and their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
But people down there, when you talk about like Mamukwambo, when they say in Kailisha we've got a crisis of teenage pregnancy, and then you get a report that says we had seven targets, we achieved five, so what? Because here are the teenagers, they are pregnant. So where is this seven and five? Have you speaking about? So if you want something, the point I'm trying to make is that we must move fast in modernizing report to a sensible one. What really my contention is that I keep on repeating this since I got exposed to this language of result-based management, is that I was worried when I was taught some years ago about result-based management. But how did my teacher miss teaching me at university when I was doing management? And when I look at my books, no, this thing is there. But how I got 70% when I didn't know this thing, I still wonder how did it happen. Because that thing is there, but I got a big percentage, but I still didn't understand it. But what I'm trying to make is that there is no management science book that doesn't teach you results.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good.
That doesn't define what is an objective in a proper way. You can go across, especially in government, it's worse. This thing, 101, speak about from one state to the other state. And that is not an activity.
Mm-hmm.
From one state, the other state is not an activity. It's a new situation that we've created. But the way we craft our plans, we don't make that scientific sense. And what politicians want is that when you propose that a budget be allocated, they want to know which state are you responding to and which states do you want.
Very good.
So that when they go to Kailisha and say, we want to change this state where you are, 100 million is allocated. When you come 7 months down the line, look, the state is new now because of that 100 million. Lesser numbers of teenage pregnancies, lesser this, no more choice. People are sitting down, they used to spend. Those are specific tangible issues. That's what my politicians want to speak about. That's what our people want us to speak about.
Yes.
Seven targets and five achieved. So they're Papa. I'm getting young. And communities are fed up with this thing that they don't understand. That's what we do. We didn't send you targets. We told you that we've got a problem of old ladies who are not being attended. Why are we telling us about targets? Maybe for your internal language there, NTA, your internal language there, I think going forward, when we come to report here, That's what the conversation is about.
Yeah.
When you come to report here in Parliament, we must say, when you gave us money, this was the situation in the country, in as far as old age is concerned. A number of them don't have chairs at post office. Now 80% of them have got chairs. That's a tangible thing. Right? A number of them used to spend 1 hour before they are attended to. Now they spend 1 minute. That's what we want to talk about, so that we can relate between the money we give and what happens in the lives of people. Not 10 targets, 7 achieved. Green dot, it means outstanding. But the old ladies are still queuing there for an hour. So all I'm saying is that, well, let's just get there. You know what worries me is that there's nothing new about what we're saying. The question is, why was it not done like this many years ago? It was never different from what we're calling for. But who made it different? Let's just do what makes sense. They call it logic frame, because they say, let's just be logical. That's what they say. Logic frame is nothing new. Let's just do logical things too, that makes sense. Can't stay here for 5 years, listening to five figures, achieve four. Maybe you can say, attached, five targets. Okay, we'll reach it my own time when I'm at home. Here, we want the difference that is being made in society. Are we together?
Yes.
For instance, we said to you, between SASA and post office, there's a need to be a clearly integrated system. So that a number of things will that get chased for from post office and sent to SASA, you reduce that number. Answers that can be good, but that we can get from post office must get it. Because this is a continuum here. It's just different roles. So you ask somebody who's in post office in Kalisha to go and get an answer in Facebook which could have been given in the post office. This is the basic, what do I say? Let's improve the way we treat our people. But we can commit in a tangible and specific way so that we are made to account effectively. The problem with the language is too technical, my man. Too technical. Sometimes it's technical. Sometimes it's not even technical. It doesn't make sense if we need to change technicality. Even if you have to leave what I'm saying, let us go technical now. In the technical space, it still doesn't make sense. Now the question is, if it doesn't make technical sense, why would it make sense? Right? So all I'm saying, well, in this conversation, remember the last workshop we had, we agreed that in the interim, we are not expecting a full-blown change of things, but at least let's identify certain areas. This program, can we test this program for the results-based reporting? We can't go on like this. My argument is that even a minister must not be happy with this. Actually, the first people who must not be happy about is the minister and the deputy minister. They must tell the officials. In my little time, I would tell them when I was once lucky to become an MEC sometime. I would tell my officials, I'm not going to Parliament to report this. I must first myself as a politician be happy. Myself, before I go to Parliament, go back, because I can't report this to Parliament. But all I'm saying, we're going to be difficult with positive intention.
Yes.
It's constructive intention. Let's move fast, DJ. Where's DJ? Let's move fast. It's like, for instance, when you say a lot of these things could have happened had the cabinet not returned APCD. We don't know that. You know, we sit in cabinet sometimes. What cabinet does not consider is because of the poor preparation by the department. And now, actually, majority of times, cabinet says, no, we can't consider this. But when it comes to us as portfolio committee, it is a problem of the cabinet, because we don't know what cabinet said to you. The cabinet. Now, the minutes of the cabinet are confidential. That's why it is criminal to leak them. But it will be useful to be told the truth exactly why did they think, but why was it not considered by the cabinet? Because these are excuses. All I'm saying, we need a language. I said one day in that workshop, and I want to repeat this. Oversight should not be a tool of conflict. It should be a tool of effective accountability. Mm. And for that to happen, let's make sense between ourselves, amongst ourselves, based on the nature of the language we're using. And the other issue I raise is that it is not correct that in this quarterly report we don't have NDA. Because if we are saying we want to reduce 17 or 19 million people, 17 point something million who are dependent on social grants, it's a developmental intervention that is going to do that. It's a developmental intervention that is going to do that. The department must begin to demonstrate that resources now are going that direction. It's not going to happen if it's not resourced. Remember we said we need a turnaround on that. Before we go Christmas, I think our Christmas will be peaceful, DM, when we have gone through a turnaround on NDA. Because we want, if we say we're a developmental state, our interventions must be developmental. My attitude is very clear. Women generally need choices. And those choices come from a developmental direction. Because Lama Todaga take advantage of women who don't have choices. To make their life difficult, Lama Todaga give a lot of choices to women. So that there's a choice between a man and other life.
Amen.
But development is the one that is going to do that. In countries where women have got choices, you have got low level of teenage pregnancy. Without belabor at this point, I'm not sure if I said it here. When my daughter was graduating in Sweden, I was running there. Whenever I visit in a country, I want the running route immediately before I start anything. So she showed me the running route. I went to run midday. I saw my daughter, a Kubi Prayama, Sabandwan, in the park, and I said, "Zindli, lady, no, I've never seen something like that." They are sitting in the park, the primary. What is happening here? Our daughter in Sweden. It's a normal thing in Sweden. And I asked my daughter, "What's going on here?" She says, "The principle here, Dad, is that if a man marries you, he must be prepared to share the disruption of pregnancy with you." So as a result, I'm claiming to look after children. It's my time today. You didn't know I'm going with the baby. Not here at home in South Africa, including me, by the way. So all I'm saying is that when women have choices, developmental choices, they will take those choices. And this department must demonstrate that it can afford those choices. We are still here to follow the minister. This is the minister's vision. Minister's first opening words was, "I want a developmental social development." It's called social development. It's not called social grant. I'm not sure if I made this point. It's written there, social development. Social service development, whatever you call it. So all I'm saying, it's not correct that if we're serious about that development, quarterly reports must demonstrate that it's something that we're worried about. We want to check whether it's turned around. It's like these NGOs, where you said cooperatives, you said so many have been supported.
Yeah.
The key thing is not how many have access, it's the performance rate. Because when you say M&E, you monitor, you evaluate. And when you evaluate, you look whether what has come out is what you intended. Now, it's one thing, it's like saying, In South Africa, 90% of kids now attend schooling. That's a quantity issue.
Mm.
They attend school and then what?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many get opportunities? So what's the performance? So that's the report we want. Because you know what? Thank you very much. Can you report it here when we close on this matter?
Okay.
I think, Honorable Abrams, I can see you are itching.
Yes, I'm itching.
Honorable, I know you itch very easily.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going through the slides again, and I just picked up another question I would like, if possibly answered. The provinces are currently using the 2013 and 2017 National Drug Master Plan. And I see the APP and annual target set that they submitted a draft plan to Cabinet. So now I want to know, is there a deadline? Is there some dates about when we can actually expect this the National Drug Master Plan to be signed off? Because then what I also pick up, it's then not then, I mean, then in targets achieved, there's capacity building to implement the actual plan in two provinces, yet as far as my understanding is, it's actually a target that's not been achieved, and yet it's then not listed under not being achieved. So if you can just get some clarity on that point, thanks.
And dear mom, I hope you're not the only one answering.
I prefer to answer, I'll delegate.
Sometimes you must make the officials account.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. We want to hear them sometimes, but if I know it's your decision, it's your department, you don't go to tell them.
I firstly need to thank the Chair for your insights, because it keeps us on track in terms of the commitment that we have made collectively as the department and the committee. The one thing that the department needs to keep in mind is that this is the one department where we all supported this budget. And it was done based on the commitment that was shown and made and the vision of the minister, not because of perfection. And as such, when we had the strategic meeting before we went into recess, I asked the question around, is this strategy and engagement going to be cascaded, or has it been cascaded down to all the departments? And the reason I'm asking that is because there is an energy that you need to harness when you have the commitment that you have currently around this table. And also you need to harness the energy that is there that the minister brings with a vision. And what the Chair is speaking about is change management, change the way we do things. And unless that is happening on the ground in the different departments, what we talk of here is never going to happen. I am actually so relieved that my colleague, Honorable Bilang Kulu, has unlocked this meeting by what she said. Because we are sitting through these reports and it paints a picture that is not a reality on the ground. Mm. And we're sitting here as people that comes from representatives, and we're sitting here and we get these things and it overwhelms you to hell and back, because really, it is not what's happening on the ground. So I am asking, I come from change management, and I'm asking again, Chair, unless it happens that the departments actually engage with a change management strategy in order for the conversations that we are having to become knowledge to your people on the ground and in your department, the reporting is going to stay the same way. So I'm asking that for strategic conversations to be had in order for this committee to get what we want. We left here, and I want to end with that, we left here with such a positivity, all of the committee, the last time we met. And we are positive because we are all unified to one goal. Mm-hmm. So when I am speaking like this, I'm speaking in the same way. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Chair. I really appreciate what you said.
This is the last quarter of the previous financial year. We are going to DD. We are going to look at the first quarter with red eyes to check if the things we are discussing are really making sense in the department. We understand this one. Yeah, we are finishing up some work. First quarter, we need a demonstration that our conversation are sensible, makes sense. It's not Chuban I'm meeting. It's not Chuban. You don't care, you just laugh at one another there. You don't care where the other one comes from. And you don't even care you are going to meet again. Because that is where people meet with different objectives. They meet in Chuban. Here we've got a common objective, which was based on a common language. Respond, GM and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want you to miss me when I'm not in the meeting. reporting to Parliament, they are here to support us technically, but we are the ones that must report.
No, I accept our task.
Constitutionally.
I'm not instructing you on anything.
I want to start and appreciate the questions, the comments, and I need to indicate Chairperson that we have heard part of why the department reports in a particular way. It's because the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation are the ones that from time to time prescribe how departments need to report. So in trying to...
Can you repeat that part, yeah?
Okay. In terms of reporting, Chairperson, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, as well as the Office of the Auditor General, the Accountant General, they tend to prescribe the format of reporting. Mm-hmm. And then officials then have to report, and also cabinet in a particular way. Because then Treasury also said, yeah, but, and also, you know, this is what you said. Then the APP is prescribed by Parliament as an institution in terms of how the APP must be written. And therefore, the report then follows the APP. What we want to propose is, over and above all of those requirements that we are required to submit quarterly, not only to Parliament, but to the Auditor General, to Cabinet in terms of outcomes, the team that we are leading, because government is outcome-based, that is why there's the red, the green, and the yellow. We hear you and we agree with you, and the Minister...
You say because government is outcome-based, you can proceed on to take note of that at the end.
Okay. So we note and we are in agreement that we need to supplement our reports that have targets green and yellow with narrative. That narration that presents the actual reality. So we want to commit to that, Chairperson, that we will get the slides, we will get the red, green, yellow in terms of the department and all the government, and we will supplement for the portfolio committee with the reporting in terms of the narration where we give more content and paint the picture. So we take in that and we know that we'll do that. The next question is the issues around teenage pregnancy. Chairperson, we do deal with teenage pregnancy across a number of the programs, and it gets lost in the target setting and the bulkiness in terms of the narrative. And I want to say to Mama, we'll make sure that in the narration, as we improve our reporting, that you can see as a program, but we are implementing a lot of the programs, and not only in terms of teenage pregnancy for the girls, but we're running a very big program also to make sure the boys and men leave the girls alone. So, which is the men championing change, men and boys championing change, because the girls don't make themselves pregnant. We're also running a very big program under the teenage pregnancy, a program which is teenage parent, a positive parenting program, because that being I always say teenager makes it look fancy, but they are actually children that are pregnant. So child pregnancies also contributes to the social ills, because that child wants to go and play, and now the child must look after the child. So we have noted that, and we are responding to programs that are assisting us with that. With regards to understanding and the whole element of consequence management, I want to say on this one, we are in 100% full agreement with the committee that a 1 cent that is an underspending in the Department of Social Development is something that we cannot afford. And we are going to be working very hard. I don't want a chairperson to now outline what were the reasons, but there were a number of reasons. The first one is, as Thabani said, we re-looked at our community social mobilization. We re-evaluated some of the programs, the moratorium, the money that was left over was for compensation of employees, the transition from CPS to the post office also brought the challenges, but also the lack of knowledge of our people in terms of grant administration also brought us to the savings, where our people need to know and be able to get their, for an example, granting aid, and they are sent to pillar to post. We are dealing with that, and we're running awareness programs and re-skilling our grant administrators so that when a man arrives and they have amputated legs, they must stop being sent to the doctor as if the legs are going to grow back, because at the moment that is what is happening. So we've noted that, and those are some of the interventions that we are doing in SASA. And in terms and the consequences management, honourable member, as you indicated, the department is addressing, and we are dealing with that. But we need to also acknowledge that the different transitions from one minister to the other and to the different policies also have a delay effect. I just want to make sure I understood Mama's question, whether Mama talks about deaf people or whether Mama talks about deaf-blind people or whether Mama talks about all three of them.
All
I just want to make sure, all three of them.
All three.
Let me start with deaf people, Chairperson. I need to indicate that in the terms of the issues around language, because for deaf people it's about sign language as a language. Constitutionally, in Schedule 5, government was required to develop sign language, South African Sign Language. I wish to confirm that we have done that. We now have South African Sign Language. And for the first time, deaf people last year wrote sign language as their first language in matric. So there is progress. We have developed the dictionary for South African Sign Language. The process in terms of Parliament, we have brought the language on sign language to be recognized as an official 12th language to join the other languages. Yes, the report has been accepted by the National Assembly, and therefore we are waiting for Parliament to formally refer the particular signing of that to the president so that sign language can become a 12th language. We also, so that has been done, Chairperson, in terms of sign language, and we also need to say as a department that that is one of the components that will be moving to the presidency in terms of the reorganization of the state. So the new department for women, youth and people with disabilities will be taking over that particular responsibility. What will be left with us as a department is to ensure that we train our frontline staff on sign language, and that process has started. We have issued an instruction 2 years ago, and SASA has started to train their frontline staff on basic sign language. And I want to link that to, or let me talk about the issue of blind people, because that includes me. The only barrier currently, Chairperson, that a blind woman has, me included, as a, when they count blind women, they count me. The challenge at the moment is in terms of the Justice Act, the administration of Justice Act, in particular with a special focus on the issues around evidence. If a blind woman is raped, at the moment the law says you must go point and go on an identity parade. So we are currently, we have raised that in terms of the disability legislation, and the Department of Justice is supposed to facilitate the amendment. And these are some of the aspects, Chairperson, that you will see that says targets not met, because some of the work is work that we must be supported by other departments. So we do our part, we're not waiting for justice, because for that to happen, justice needs to lead the way. With regards to deaf-blind people use tactile as a language. And in South Africa, we don't. We only have one qualified tactile interpreter, who is currently the one that is the technical person that is providing advice and soliciting how South Africa needs to deal with tactile. And what complicates it further is that every deaf-blind person speaks their own language. It's all about how they were raised, who raised them. They either, you write in the palm, but all of that, as the Department of Social Development, we have engaged, we have started the process, and to come in, to finalize that part, the Department of Social Development Command Center that deals with gender-based violence is disability-friendly, honorable member. Deaf women or deaf men get counseling through sign language interpretation, through SMS, through video calling. So they get counseling with appointed counselors and social workers who are deaf to provide first-hand social work in sign language. But we've also appointed lip readers, because not every deaf person utilizes sign language. So our command center to fight gender-based violence, I'm not sure whether the committee, yes, actually I would recommend the committee, time permitting, visits the command center to be exposed to how we deal with gender-based violence. So that the portfolio committee can appreciate the technicality and not have this command center that is winning international awards, but the committee does not have the appreciation of this intervention. South African Police Service are training police, Chairperson, in terms of sign language. And I must also say, because Social Development serves on the JCPS cluster, which is the security cluster, that I can confirm that as we speak, there are more than 300 police officers that are going through sign language training. But SAPS has also established a disability focal person, which was not there, precisely to address and deal with the concerns that people with disabilities. We're not there yet, Chairperson, we must admit, but it is something that is work in progress, especially as soon as the language is signed in, and the fact that any child in any school today can choose sign language as a language makes it easy for us to be able to have more people that will speak sign language. Circular 21, Chairperson, had a very big impact on social development, because part of its aspect was more trying to say, let us try and control, because we do a lot of transfer of funds to NPOs. And Circular 21, and then when we transfer the funds, I'll take an example of Fiji. It's a feeding scheme. That means we transfer the funds and the NPO must procure on its own. Circular 21 came in the middle of the administration in August, and it was saying it is now no longer allowed that you transfer the money to NPOs and for them to procure. And that threw a lot of NPOs out, because now CFOs needed to comply, and a lot of our NPOs did not meet. That has been raised, and we have engaged Treasury, because the biggest department that got a knock on this one is us. And we have engaged, and we have sat with Treasury in very long meetings, so that they understand the service delivery model, but also the statutory obligations that the department handles, and that to an extent social development does engage NPOs in statutory management. And those NPOs that are funded are delivering services on behalf of social development. So I want to assure the committee that we have, and the minister and the acting DG have actually engaged, and we've also engaged the MinCombat, which is the ministers of the budget, to actually understand that, and that is work in progress. Chairperson, the other questions was the issues around the office space, which I will cluster. The office space, our relationship with provinces. I want to bring to the portfolio committee's attention that in terms of our governance, we've got the Intergovernmental Relations Act that governs how we relate to provinces. But we also have concurrent functions. And that answers the question that we have picked up ourselves. As much as MINMEC is there, where the Minister, Deputy Minister and MECs meet, unlike the Department of Health, where their MINMEC is legislated and the decisions are binding, our MINMEC is where we are gathering and trying to move together. But at the end of the day, the provinces, because it's a concurrent function, and we set the policies.
Sorry, dear. Just switch off your... Thank you.
I think maybe we need to move differently. Let me explain why. You see, the response you are giving now, I don't think it's an intention. It's a defense against what Honorable Bilanguru said. But if that report of what she said was coming from the department, and then explaining what you're explaining, it would be different. Because what she's challenging is that the report in front of us is not reflecting what is happening on the ground. Now, because now she says that, there's a general explanation what the problems are. But the source of that concern is based on a report which is not consistent with what is happening on the ground. Now, whatever the reasons are, it would have sounded better if the department said exactly what she said. We have got these problems, they were for this, being said by the department, were for these officers that are in this situation, were for these cars that are like this, people using unserviced cars. We have tried to do A, B, C, D, but the problem is concurrence. Concurrence now comes because a member of parliament has found a situation which is not reflected in the report. Now, as a result now, it comes negatively as defense and denial than honest reporting. Not because it's intended. These are the things I think I want to correct. And secondly, the issue I want to raise again is that, you know, at the risk of coming out as being arrogant, I think we're trying to be constructive. Let me give you an example. At the moment I was in hell, forget the period for which I was in the MBC. If I go to a press conference or go to report on pediatrics, I have found it useful to put a pediatrician here to talk to the public about that. Right? Because the deeper you go there, the more you realize that you're not a pediatrician. So it's always useful to make sure that technical people account for their technical reports. Because that's what they are hired for. Because you end up accounting for them, because for instance, I'll give you an example. If you speak about HG, you speak about treasure. We've engaged with those units. They don't agree with what you guys are doing. That's why I want to make sure that in the next, when you do annual report, we must make sure that somebody from treasure who deals with this is here, because I know what they want, because I've interacted with it. Somebody from AG, and they must tell us, it is them who say to you, report a target that cannot be explained anywhere. For instance, I'll give you an example. If you say five targets, if that target means, I'll repeat what I've said, at risk of boring everyone. If that target means, in South Africa, 80% of old ladies are chewing for more than an hour, and you call that a target, that you want it to change to 20%. That is your one target. If that's what you mean, show us where it is written. Show us where it is written. And I can tell you, we've gone through this report, it's not written anywhere. Now, but what you must live with here is five targets, and when you follow that target, you track it, it doesn't show you where this change is. Because this target must represent changes somewhere. And I don't want us to say, AG said this, but I can tell you, I've spent time with those people, AG. Right? So we will make sure that in the next meeting, they are here to explain that it's them who say report senselessly. Because can AG say we must spend money senselessly? So what are they auditing? So all I'm saying, when we say make sure that you use your resources, we want to make sure that these officials account for their work. Okay. They must account for their technical, that's what they're trained for. They must account for it. Because we're asking technicalities that do not make sense here. And when you interview them, you ask them questions on those technicalities. And they must account for the technical that don't make sense. And I would want to protect my minister and my deputy minister, not to put themselves there in a situation where they answer on behalf of technical people. Because what's going to happen is that we as politicians, we get appointed differently for different purposes. These guys must account for their work.
Why are they here?
And they have written these things.
Why are they here?
So all I'm saying, this is a constructive intervention. Don't have to take it. and dismiss it, but at the end of the day, we're going to demand proper reporting. Right? Because when you say outcome-based, that outcome-based which is overused, which is used in government, it's covering, it's a vague thing that covers the basic word result. The key word is result. Even outcome is a particular result. There are different types of results before you have an outcome. Right? Just outcome is just a particular type of a result. But the key word is result. If you want to monitor frequently, you monitor results. Right. So all I'm saying, this is a peaceful comment, and I mean peacefully. We want to work with the department peacefully. We started peacefully. We are still continuing peacefully. And we are going to work together peacefully and constructively. But please allow us to be honest about what we think with regard to what you are putting before us. Right? So all I'm saying, that thing that Honorable Bilangul raised cannot be responded to in that fashion.
No, we're not going to accept that.
I repeat, I said it concretely.
Yes.
I said it concretely, dear. You must listen. I said it concretely, dear, with respect. That had Honorable Bilangul not raised what she raised, would not have got that comment.
Yes.
We should not read them. Actually, what you have just said now is not written anywhere in your report.
Yes.
Mama Uvan, because we need to close.
Yes. Thank you for stopping the DM, not to continue with answer. I was asking myself whilst I was sitting here, maybe it's because I'm new on the thing, not in their figure. I don't understand this, but the DM pocket the constitution. Now I'm someone who would like to prove something. I still need that clause or that line on the constitution that is not giving the administration to account. But we allow the DM at least to round up if anything is not clear.
Mm.
Not here now to put her neck on the block.
Yeah. Mm.
She's trying by all her best to explain it. But actually, I'm looking at them and I look at the CFO and all others. I'm Gigiana is just in a holiday because we are being blessed. So that thing, I think we must stop it right now as it is starting. This is the sixth parliament. We must even ourselves as politicians change the way we do things and do it right.
Next one.
The other thing, you know, the administration of Kanye, the accounting people always make mention of Kanye, make a mention of this thing of the compliance to the AG. What is your table or the way they answer and write they have it. You know that thing doesn't have any harm except to say when you present a report you must give a flash to the people rather than DM to say we rewrite a certain report because it will also sometimes cause a problem. But rather the one who presents gives the information and the flesh towards what is written and what is needed by the AG. I had an explanation of saying, because really, that the information is underneath. They can explain when you ask, but can we afford to ask questions time and again for something that we need?
Mm.
So I think we don't ask anything. Something unique, but we are asking them when they report the first quarter, they must try their level best. My unique and give them. You can write it, but when you present it, bam, accounted, but presented, and let this again will be because She knows the department inside and out. I can assure you about that. Thank you.
I'm confused, Chair. Do I wrap up? Because
no,
I
know Honorable DM, you don't know when I'm going to come to you to close. So you must allow us to run the meeting. And since I run, do you have any comments?
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Comrade Chairperson, the chairperson of the session. I think I also need just to add my voice into this thing a little bit. I know the chairperson have actually canvassed it properly, and then Umamumvana. But what we need to correct here, I mean, the chairperson put it in a very polite and nice way and says we need to do things differently, and then he even outlines what needs to happen in a very nice way. But I think as a portfolio committee, we must be able to put a stop into this thing, because we cannot allow a situation where the political head will be in the meeting in the name of the deputy minister, and then the chairperson is trying to call an order in terms of how we need to move forward. And then it looks like that intervention is not being understood in the right context. And I'm raising that because of I get the sense that the DM says, irrespective of what I'm closing, you know, what is the thing? Because that's arrogance. Because that's arrogance, you know, and then we are not going to allow that.
There must be one person at a time, you will speak.
Yeah, you will speak. I'm also on the program, and I'm also raising my own issues. We cannot allow a situation where the department comes to a portfolio committee with more than 10 people as a delegation. Then you've got the deputy minister speaking on everything. I mean, that's not allowed. I mean, it can't be. It's not right.
Actually,
I mean, it's not right. I mean, Comrade Monty puts it very nicely. I mean, it's not right.
It must be nice.
And then I think the minister, the deputy minister must understand it in that context. It's a constructive intervention that we're trying to make. So please, let's understand it in that context. Let's not understand it otherwise or interpret it otherwise. It's an intervention that has been made, so let's take it positively. I think that's my contribution. Thanks.
No, I think... Make your closing remarks, TM, because the closing remarks I want to make as a chair on the point.
Absolutely.
I think we're closing the matter now, right?
But my question wasn't answered. The status of the drug national policy, the drug master plan.
Okay.
Not answered.
Can you deal with that?
When can we fix this?
Thank you very much, Jefferson, and as I conclude the questions, I just also want to say I don't want to leave this meeting like I was disrespectful. All I wanted to understand was the process, and that is what I was asking. Not that I don't want to listen to the chair. Secondly, I want to appreciate the format that the sixth administration would like us to report. Because in the fifth administration, every time we are not here and the officials are sent, the portfolio committee will send them back. So it sends us different messages, because we're the ones that come to report. And I was just responding to questions so that I can hand over to them. And I'm leaving it and taking it in good faith. All I was asking was the process. To say, Chairperson, from here, do I finish off the questions? Because at the end of the day, I was wrapping up the political areas that are also institutional in nature and in the manner in which we function, not necessarily being defensive. So let me continue by answering the question.
I am sustainably sweet by nature. And I want to stay like that. Don't engage in the manner you are engaging.
Yeah. Yeah.
What we want you to do is to close all your responses, not to what we are trying to correct here. Because if you are dealing with that, we are going to open that debate. It's not going to take us anywhere.
Yes.
We have got other things to do, not the only thing that is this one. So just do your closing. There's a question of drug master plan, there are other issues, and you close and so on. Respond to the question that the committee is actually posing.
regards to the drug master plan, Chairperson, the drug master plan is ready for table in the cabinet. It has to be updated because it was affected by the African Union implementing and updating its 2019 to 2024 strategy in terms of the African Union 2063 agenda. So after the heads of state adopted that now in August, we needed to update the particular drug master plan so that it is in line with the rest of the African continent. So the drug master plan will be presented, and by the third quarter, it would have gone through Parliament. With regards to the alignment of structures, Chairperson, I would like to just indicate that, yes, we have picked up between ourselves and provinces on different problems that there is misalignment of structures. And to apologize and indicate that we will consolidate the reports because we report different reports, and that is why I was through the select committee, we zoom into provinces and how the provinces are performing or underperforming when we present the report to the National Council of Provinces, where we also report to the select committee. So with the guidance of the committee, we will ensure that the report in the future also is aligned so that you are, as the portfolio committee, aligned to what we report to the National Council of Provinces that are province-specific. With regards to NDA and FASA, and their reporting and our silent nature in the quarter, in the, we used to be, they would prepare the different fourth quarter report as entities of which the portfolio committee would call us in one day, and we would present all the three entities. But I think that the committee would require us now to consolidate that, which is in line with the vision that the minister is introducing in terms of a one portfolio. Therefore, the reports as we go through the quarters would become one. But previously, they were dealt with. We would come into the committee, I mean the department, and then the entities would report. But with your guidance, Chair, we will consolidate and ensure that the reports are. The reports are aligned. With regards to the last question, I'm hoping is to say, Chairperson, we are strengthening our systems in terms of how we relate to provinces. We are also having a number of forums that are in place on different elements from welfare services and from whether it's the drug master plan, whether it's gender-based violence, the different programs are being cascaded to right up to the district level. With regards to the conditions of service of social workers, we just want to indicate that, Chairperson, we will provide that report. We provide it province by province when we report to the select committee, but we will incorporate it and lift it up, because provinces are the ones that are actually employing social workers, and we set the minimum norms and standards, and we are monitoring the provinces. And we note that the conditions have not been very good in terms of the tools of trade for the social workers. On the last point is, Chairperson, the issues around the post office we have noted, and we agree with the challenges of the queuing. We agree with the challenges of the lack of services. And at the moment, we're looking at the infrastructure that SASSA has already built that exists, that has the facilities, and how we align that with regards to the post office. I hope I have responded to the questions that the committee has asked, and I'll hand over to the team to add if there is anything that I have left out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Does the team want to add anything?
No.
Don't add by echo. Okay. I think we're closing this. Jim, there is no way one can appreciate your energy. I've known you for years as a hard worker. I think there's no debate about that. But the debate is about a particular method of relationship, which can yield particular results. We don't doubt. I've known you for years. I know you are a hard worker. There's no question about it. Very few people can be able to articulate this little department in the manner you are. But the challenge is that there are particular roles and role clarities. There's a reason why certain people do particular work. I'll just give you an example so that as we close this matter, you know what is it? In Federal, in my short time when I was there, one of the most important things the Minister Mboweni used to raise, and I agree with him, he says ministers, deputy ministers, including myself, I have three people, they would all come here and spend time with me for the whole week. When I checked what exactly each was doing, only one did something, others were here. But I'm going to explain what they were doing. So if you bring people here from Pretoria, there's money that is being paid.
Absolutely.
There must be a reason why they are here.
Mm-hmm.
And that purpose must be served. Mm-hmm. If you can count, more than 80% of the people are not, their offices are not here to come in Cape Town. They are in Pretoria. So there must be a reason why they are here.
Mm.
And that is what we call efficiency. So that principle is very, very important, and the committee has articulated it. On the alignment, I don't know in the Constitution whether it's chapter 3, I suspect. It says, all three spheres of government, I want to repeat this. It says, all three spheres of government within themselves, must serve the people of the Republic as a whole.
Mm.
In other words, at a national level, when you give report, you give a total report, irrespective of whether it's in a province, because it affects your job in totality.
Mm.
When I was a mayor, I used to tell my team in local government of Ekurhuleni that I don't want you, she knows Mayor Anastasia, I used to tell them, don't tell committee members that this is a national issue. Because local government is a government there that must tell people about everything that affects them, whether it's from the province or national government.
Mm.
Because you serve in totality with an indivisible conscience, with an indivisible phenomenon in mind. That they must keep the indivisibility of South Africa, its sphere within itself. You go and read that constitution, it says, under corporate governance, it says, indivisibility. So now, it's not, you don't talk about province only when you're in the SOP. You talk about the total work and this is affected, not as a problem, but here. But you need to smartly couch your report in such a manner that you don't have to say things that are irrelevant. And if you choose relevancy, you'll find that 10 pages is enough, or 5 pages is enough, depending on what you choose to report. This is what we call smart reporting. But if you report everything, you will have Bible here, which end up meaning nothing, the whole Bible. So the key thing is that you must know what you're coming to report. And NDA, I repeat, if we want NDA to be turned around, we need a turnaround plan, that, as we said, as a committee, and the two NDA on a quarterly basis, we must know what is happening. If we say we want a development direction, again, let's come to the AG and close this matter. If you go to AG, there's something called in the elements of their auditing, the performance information. This is what we're fighting about here. And I can tell you, if you look at this report, if you were to give them out of 10, I don't want to give you the marks, from the AG's point of view, not my point of view, there's a category already called performance information. Clarity, sense, they will tell you smart, specific, measurable, realistic, time bound. That is an AG's requirement. So I'm saying the reason we're worried, DG, is because we don't find those things here. And that is not far away from the AG. Right? So lastly, I propose, maybe we'll discuss this also with the DM and the minister. I propose that, you know, it works when your department has got two audits. The AG, there's AG who does a financial report audit. But there's an internal audit which should do more than financial report audit. It must do financial and performance audit. Performance audit helps you as a department to improve your performance information. And I tell you, this thing I practice because I know it. You would, in the line function, find that they exaggerated their performance. But when you sign the performance audit, they say we have achieved 75%, to people they say no, 40%, because they check the real stuff. And whatever we did, we always make sure that if a department is improving, we improve the gap between yourself and internal audit report. And you improve towards the internal audit, not towards yourself. It's not the performance audit improving towards you. As a line function, you improve towards the performance audit. All I'm saying, the things we're asking for are catered for in South Africa. The department, when you're not aligned with them, don't find defense. You are not aligning with them. Correct them. So that's just going to do the correct things. Because we're not asking you something that are not that are out of hand. You go to your accountability documents, they exist. Be it AG, Treasury, and so on. It's Laura in Treasury. I know that. She would not agree with these things here. I know that. She would not. So if we say it's her, I'll bring it here. I can tell Laura will bring this thing. Laura will bring this thing and tell Laura, this is not what I'm telling you to do. So all I'm saying, let's just come back and our friendship is guaranteed. It's not going to be taken away by anything. First quarter, please, department, demonstrate the intention to improve. Right? Please demonstrate that. And we're not going to relent on that. Because that's what we're here for. But I must thank you, dear, with your team and the energy you always show in your work. Now I'm proud of your diligence. I've seen you, you've driven so many things. Whereas what you've presented here on sign language was an amazing thing.
Oh, that was.
As an amazing thing. But we need to know it because we can't smell it. Mm-hmm. We must know it. It must be in the report. Mm-hmm. So we know it's there. We go and check it. The command center. We must go to the command center. Command center, Kanye, CEO, Secretary. Let's go to the command center that the DM is speaking about. Can you imagine when you got a dictionary on sign language? You have been yearning for that. We were misled by somebody in the memorial service of Nelson Mandela. Misleading us. We thought that this person is reporting that we are the surrender. Look to it. It was nothing. Because we didn't know. Yeah. But if I had my dictionary, I was going to check my other dictionary. So that dictionary is a very, I think South Africans are going to love that dictionary. So that's a positive thing here. Yeah. Both. I mean, I've learned things today. Tactile intelligence. What else? We've listed all those issues. To me, those are positive issues that must come to the report. Right? You are in the right direction, guys. Thank you very much. Unless there's something fundamental here, I'm leaving out before we allow you. Thank you very much. We love you guys. You are South Africans. That's why we love you. 5 minutes break so that we deal with our interview, which is going to be very short. Five. 5 minutes break, we'll come and do the general business. You allow them to leave.
I'm learning it since I know what to do. How are you?
I'm finding yourself. I'm good, thank you.
It is lovely to know.
Yeah. We learn every day.
I was ready with my stuff, so I wasn't given an opportunity to respond.
The time just flies.
We need to be stricter about that.